Our passage today is from Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Let's read it. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. In the boat was Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Before we get started, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we sang in the song today, you walk with us and you talk with us and you call us your own. Lord, the future can be very challenging. It's full of unknowns. It's full of temptations. It's full of obstacles. We are thankful, Lord, that you are willing to walk with us, to face it together, that we are not alone, that you are our friend. And so, Lord, we pray you would help us to understand better what does it mean to walk with you, to have a Christian life of fellowship with you. And, Lord, we pray that 2022 will be a year where each one of us will deepen our walks with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first point I want to share from the passage is that walking with Jesus means action, an active lifestyle. Now, it's estimated that in Jesus' earthly ministry, he walked about 3,150 miles, which is about 5,000 kilometers. To put that in perspective, it's about the distance all the way from west to east if you were to walk across China. When you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus led a very active lifestyle. He was constantly teaching and healing, traveling, and spending time praying. We see this in Mark 3, 20 through 21. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again, so they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." Jesus was so busy and so active ministering to others that those closest to him thought he was crazy. Thought he was out of his mind and said he just needs to have some more time to rest. He didn't even have time to eat. But Jesus wasn't surprised by this. In Luke 9:58, Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus did not come to live a life of luxury or of comfort. He didn't stay in five-star hotels. Much of the time, he didn't even have a proper place to lay his head. Now, when Jesus called these four fishermen and also the other disciples, he called them to a life of work. And joining him in these travels was not going to be easy. Now, these men were already accustomed to hard work, being fishermen, working outdoors with their hands. But in many ways, the life that Jesus was calling them to was going to be more difficult. Now, he didn't say, "Follow me and you'll have a life of ease." He didn't say, "Follow me and watch while I do all the work." No, they were going to be involved. And as they went with Jesus, they were going to share in his hardships. And he gave them many responsibilities so that they were involved, that they were also active in the ministry that he was doing. As he had no place to lay his head, so they would not either. So walking with Jesus means an active lifestyle. The word walk, or a form of it, occurs in the Bible around 400 times. And many of those uses are describing the Christian life. It's a Christian walk. We are to be walking. And the implication is clear. The Christian life is to be an active one. We are not just resting or relaxing. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11 says, "So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." So this talks about rest a few times. There is a rest. There is a Sabbath rest. But when is it? Not now, right? It's later. It's in the future. And we've been studying in Revelation, in Revelation 20 and 21 and 22, and we've seen that rest, what it's going to be like to be with God for all of eternity. But it hasn't started yet. So we're not just to be waiting around, waiting for Jesus to come back and set everything right in the world. I had a friend here who actually, when I first shared with him about the word, about the gospel, his parents were very negative about it, and he was very negative about it. And I kind of asked the questions to see why. And it turns out there was a group of people who professed to be believers in his hometown who had this kind of idea about the Christian life. You just sit around and maybe pray and wait and don't really do anything. But I told them, no, our life is to be an active one. We are to work now, not waiting for something in the future. So turn to your neighbor and tell them, 2022 is not for resting. Now you can sigh. Oh, man, I thought 2022 was going to be more restful than the past year. It's not a time for resting. So we're not to be passive. We're not to be sitters. So stand up. No. We're to walk with him. 1 Peter 1:13 says to prepare your minds for action. So the question is, are you living an active Christian life? You can ask your neighbor, are you living an active Christian life?
Yes.
Somewhat active sometimes. So the disciples left their homes and they got out and they walked great distances in order to be with Jesus. So I want to think, how can we as a body, how can we as individuals live an active Christian life this year in 2022? And let's make this really practical. Personally, I'm somewhat concerned about what COVID is doing to the church, not just worldwide, but here in GICF. Now, we praise God that we can meet online on Zoom. But I want to emphasize that this is not a replacement for face-to-face meeting. Online church can be very passive, and it can be very relaxing, and it can be very restful. The last month in Guangzhou is very cold, and it's very easy to stay in your nice warm bed with your nice warm blanket and turn on the Zoom meeting, leave the screen off, and then listen to the message, and maybe listen to it while you do something else, right? Multitasking, making your breakfast, or doing other things. But I want us to think about that. How helpful is that spiritually to do that? How helpful is that for you to do that? It's easy, but easy doesn't normally help us grow. So my challenge this morning as we learn to walk with Jesus is to be active. Now, there are a lot of ways to do this, but one way I want to encourage you to do this in the coming year is to join a lighthouse. Now, it's certainly harder to get up and get out in the cold or the heat to fight Guangzhou traffic and travel to a lighthouse. But Jesus calls us to an active lifestyle, to walk. Hey, you can walk the whole way, even better. In the New Testament period, when the church was growing really fast, like wildfire, they were meeting in homes. And that close-knit fellowship provided accountability and encouragement and stimulated growth. So ask yourself this question, which will help you grow more? Staying at home or going out to meet with other believers at a lighthouse? My guess is it's the second one. So God's word says that we reap what we sow. The more you as an individual sow into your Christian life, whether it's through meeting with other believers, reading the word, studying the word, prayer, the more you put into it, the more that you will reap out of it and the more results that you will see. Now, one thing that you may notice about this country is that people here are generally quite fit. They're far healthier than Americans. When you compare the two countries, in America, obesity is a big problem. So why here people tend to be so fit? The answer is fairly simple. They walk a lot. They do a lot of exercise, and they are very active. I can see every day out in my complex, they're elderly people walking and exercising and massaging and doing all of these things. So exercise your spiritual muscles in 2022. Now, one way is to go to the Lighthouse, and you can think of other ways how God wants you to exercise your spiritual muscles in the coming year. Perhaps some have been waiting for things to go back to normal, to go back to how they were with every week meetings at the Hilton or somewhere else. But brothers and sisters, things may never go back to that way. Maybe God wants us to adjust our thinking instead of waiting for something to happen. The second point I want to bring out is that walking with Jesus means going in the same direction. It says that immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus had already begun his ministry. He'd already started it. His calling and his path were set. And then he called the disciples to join him. That meant they had to change direction. They had to give up what they themselves were doing, their own path, their own career, their own plans in joining with him. And their response is very admirable. They did this immediately. So walking with Jesus requires a change of direction. They were fishermen, and now they would go and be fishers of men. They were in their comfort zone, doing what they had probably grown up doing and were familiar with. Now they'd be leaving that, their comfort zone, what they're familiar with, to venture into the unknown, to venture into something far less secure and less safe. While they didn't know what they would face, they didn't know who they would face it with. So going with him meant giving up something. And I want us to think, what do we need to give up if we're going to walk with Jesus in 2022? And the first thing, very obviously, is sin. A lot of people try to put one foot into God's kingdom and then one foot in this world. They like to feel the peace of being together with God's family and joining church, but at the same time, they might like to keep some aspects of their own lifestyle, some things in their own lives which they don't want to give up because they're enjoying the world too much. Now, does Jesus welcome all kinds of people to walk with him? The answer is yes, he does welcome all kinds of people. No matter what kind of sinner you are, Jesus will welcome you. No matter what sin you have done, he's happy to have you as his follower. He let the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and the worst sinners of the land to hang out and to be with him and to follow him. But he did not welcome their sin or allow them to follow him without changing their lives. So to walk with him, we must repent of sin. We must change direction. The second thing the disciples had to give up is their way of life or their job. All the disciples had known was fishing. It was their livelihood. Probably they grew up next to the Sea of Galilee. Most likely they learned this trade from their own fathers, and they were good at it. Fishing was the way that they took care of their families. I knew a family like this back in the States. We lived near the ocean, and there was a family of fishermen. The father was the captain of a boat, and his sons became captain of boats, and they loved it, and they grew up loving it. And fishing can be very enjoyable. When you're out on the ocean, it's very peaceful and serene. So for this family that I knew, if you were to tell them, give up fishing and do something else, ooh, that's difficult. That's challenging for them. That's part of their identity. But the disciples were willing to give it up in order to follow Jesus. Following Jesus changed their identity. It completely changed the direction of their life. It meant being surrounded by people instead of being surrounded by water and nature. For some of us introverts, that would be very difficult. And it meant giving up their source of income and their security. How could they make money following Jesus? How would they take care of their families? How much does this pay anyway? They probably didn't have the answers, but they believed in Jesus and they followed him anyway. So for application, we can consider, what in our own life do we need to give up? What direction do we need to change in order to follow Jesus? Is Jesus in first place in our life, or is it our career? Do we need to perhaps turn down some job offer in order to make sure God is taking the priority in our life as we should? Perhaps we need to say no to taking jobs on Sundays so that you can spend that time worshiping the Lord. Perhaps you need to say no to a lucrative opportunity because it's in a great area of the law. You're not sure, is it completely legal, but it's such a good opportunity. Maybe you need to say no to that. As you walk with Jesus, you need to consider who is in the lead. He is leading or we are leading. Now, the third thing we need to give up if we want to walk with Jesus is ourselves. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Following Jesus meant denying themselves. So I was thinking about, you know, sometimes we see job advertisements advertising what is required for a specific job and so on. I was thinking about, what is the job advert describing the job the disciples were going to do? It's really attractive. Long hours. Lots of overtime. Must be willing to work on the weekends. Must be able to travel often. Must be willing to accept the cheapest modes of travel, generally by foot for long distances. No first class, right? Dangerous. Potential threats from thieves or soldiers. Want to pay for hotels. Sleep where and how you can. Sometimes outside in the elements. The political climate in the country is dangerous. Performing job will put your life in danger. You'll be exposed to public ridicule and persecution. Compensation? None. No insurance. No pension. No housing fund. No paid vacation. Sounds pretty attractive, right? Qualifications needed. Complete obedience, deny yourselves, obey the boss completely in every area. All right, so we're going to have some tables in the back for signing up. Again, who's ready to sign up? Well, but there's another part of this job advertisement that would go like this. Benefits. Learn face-to-face from the creator of the world. Wow, what a privilege that is. Become friends with the King of Kings. Discover real joy. Gain a new purpose in life. Eternal life. And then put it on there, but forgiveness. The costs of this job are high. Walking with Jesus is not easy. But the benefits are worth it. Will we deny ourselves and follow the Lord? Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together unless they are agreed?" Walking along with someone implies that you're going in the same direction as they are going. If one person is going to the north and one person is going to the south, then it's not going to work out very well. And if one person is going due north and even one person is going 2 degrees off of that, you can kind of manage to walk together for a little while. But sooner or later, you're going to diverge on your path. So walking with Jesus means that we agree with him 100% about our life direction. We submit everything we have to him, our plans, our careers, and our relationships. We come to agreement with him and say, "Lord, your way is best." So does your life need a change of direction? Are you walking with Jesus or going your own way and then asking him to come along and bless you and prosper your own plans? Those two things are very different. The third point I want to bring out today is that walking with Jesus means fellowshipping. Jesus' call to the disciples was a call to a relationship. He often taught the crowds. He often saw and healed the sick. But that was different than the relationship he had with the disciples. He didn't just teach with them. He lived them with them. And he ate with them. He talked with them. He corrected them. And they spent lots of time together. And much of that time was time they spent away from the crowds. John 6:3 says, "Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples." Mark 4:34, He did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. The way and the method that he communicated to his disciples was different than the way that he communicated to the others in the crowds. The relationship that Jesus had with the disciples was deep. He wanted them to understand his teachings, so he took time to explain everything to them privately. Other passages show us that he considered them family. Matthew 12:49, stretching out his hands toward his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers." And in John 15:15, Jesus called his disciples friends. So walking with Jesus meant a deep, personal fellowship with Jesus. And Jesus wants that same relationship with you. In 2022, Jesus wants to have a deeper, more personal fellowship with you than ever before. 2022 might be a year where you face many trials, or it might be a smooth or easy year by comparison. But either way, Jesus wants to walk with you in this year. Now, going on a walk with someone is a time to talk. It's a time to share. You open up about your own life and your own struggles, and you tell about the good news in your life, and you tell about the bad news. You laugh, you joke, you tell stories. It's fellowshipping. So how can you have better fellowship with Jesus this year? Well, the number one application for this is to talk with him. Talk with Jesus as you would a friend. Don't wait for Jesus to read your WeChat moments or your Facebook updates to know what is going on in your life. Tell him directly. Throughout the day, just talk to him about what you are facing, how you feel, successes, failures, temptations. Sometimes when we pray, we make it sound so spiritual and so formal. We don't have to do that. We can talk to Jesus just like a friend. The person I knew who treated Jesus like a friend perhaps the most was my mother-in-law, Christy's mother. When she prayed, she would often start out, "Ni hao, Yesu." Hello, Jesus. And then she would tell him that what she was doing and how things were going. She would say, "You're my friend, and here we are eating, and thank you for being with us." And very, very simple, the way she prayed, but it felt so real and so personal. It would feel like Jesus is just sitting at the table with you, just like any other friend visiting. So the Christian life is not complicated. It's often called walking, not flying, not juggling, not roller skating. Walking is one of the most simple activities there is, but we are not to walk alone. We go with Jesus side by side. And as we go, we talk with him. Quite simple, right? Have you been talking to Jesus? Have you been including him in every part of your life? If not, then let this be the year where you learn to have that personal relationship with him on a daily basis. Now, the fourth and last point I want to share from this is walking with Jesus means being in step with him. When Jesus called the disciples, he said, "Follow me." They were going with Jesus side by side. He gave them responsibilities. He befriended them. They fellowshiped together. But make no mistake, Jesus was the leader. Now, at times, his followers pushed him to do things. They wanted to set the pace. And he would sometimes say, "My time has not yet come. It's not time for me to do that yet." The disciples were not always in sync with Jesus' plans. Matthew 16:22-23. We see that Peter was very bold, but not in sync with Jesus. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned, Jesus, and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So when Peter stepped out of sync with Jesus and tried to push his own plans onto Jesus, he was met with a very strong response. How would you feel if you call up a friend? I call up Stuart and I ask him to go on a walk with me. I know Scottish people like to walk. So I say, "Let's go walking. Let's go hiking." And then when I'm on the walk, he is way in front, blazing the trail by himself. Way up there, I can't even see him. There he goes. You know, where's Stuart? He's gone again. You know, he's way out in front. Or on the other side, if I invited him to a walk and then I'm way out in front and he can't even see me or what I'm doing, and then he's behind. That's not a very enjoyable sounding walk. If you invite someone for a walk and they're lagging behind, ignoring your instructions, getting lost and getting off the path, you probably wouldn't enjoy that so much. Now, as I was preparing this message, I was sitting next to a window and I was overlooking a river and people were walking next to it. And I made quite the discovery. I don't know if I will win any prize for that in some scientific journals, but it was an amazing discovery. And it was this, that the people who were in groups of two or three were walking side by side. Quite interesting, huh? They were walking side by side. So we must walk with Jesus. He is beside us. He is encouraging us. He is strengthening us, befriending us. At the same time, he is leading us. I want to share a quote with you. This is not by Spurgeon. Walk in step with Jesus. We should not get out in front of him, and we should not lag behind. Richard Long. So when we were talking about this theme, and he said this, it may not be exactly word for word, I was going by memory, but I thought, this is really good. That's what it means to walk in step with Jesus. So, yeah, quoting Spurgeon is very good, but you can also get good quotes from everyday believers. So that means we want to be side by side with Jesus, and we need to know how to seek God's will. So there are five ways that we can seek God's will, the next piece, right? So this is called the hand of knowing God's will. Five ways: Bible, prayer, counsel, circumstances, and peace, or you can say the leading of the Holy Spirit. So when we meditate on the Word, when we pray, when we listen to the Holy Spirit's leading, when we ask counsel from other believers, then God will show us his will. We are to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to his will rather than to push our own, willingly waiting for his timing. We need to apply these five principles to every area of our life, whether it's making a decision to stay in China or go back, or to pursue this career or that one. Follow these five methods of knowing God's will so that you can stay in step with Jesus. So we're not to just charge ahead and do our own thing and say, God, please bless that. No, we humble ourselves and we come before him and we seek to ask what is his will for our life, and then we follow that. So I want to come to the conclusion now. When we walk with Jesus, our life will be changed. The disciples started off as regular people. They were not well educated. They didn't have much influence. Jesus often found them arguing about which one would be greater. Many other times they asked silly questions. They were not the bravest group. When Jesus was arrested, most of them ran off. And Peter, who vowed to lay down his life for the Lord, ended up denying him three times. But as they walked with Jesus, they observed his model, his life, his prayer, and his teachings. And their lives were transformed. These men became pillars of the church, and they were emboldened to do great feats. Acts 4:13 shows of an encounter they had with the religious leaders when they, the religious leaders, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men. They were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. What changed them? Being with Jesus. Spending time with Jesus transformed them. It transformed them to the point that they would turn the world upside down. Acts 17:6, when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." They turned the world upside down. God changed them. So I was asking some of the others on the leadership team, what do you do when you go for a walk with someone? And someone said, well, when you go for a walk with someone, you invite them. And that's also true. You invite them. There's an invitation, and then there is a response to that invitation. Jesus gave an invitation to his disciples, follow me. Now he's giving the same invitation to you today. This year, follow him, walk with him side by side. He's inviting us to let him into our lives and to walk with him. That means he's asking us to have an active Christian lifestyle. And he is asking us to change our direction and to give up something. He's asking us to let him in and fellowship with us and talk with us. He's asking us to walk in step with him. Exodus 33:15 says, he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. And I want that to be our prayer this year. God, let your presence be with us as we go forward into the unknown. That we pray as Moses did, that his presence will go with us. So he's giving an invitation to you this morning. Will you accept that invitation? If you want to walk with Jesus this year, and you don't have to accept right now, but if you say, yes, I do, and I'm sure I do, as an affirmation of that, please stand up. We're going to close in prayer together. So if you want to walk with Jesus this year, you say, yes, that's me, I want it, then stand up and tell him that in your prayer. So I'm going to lead the closing prayer. I'll ask the worship team up. And as I pray, you also pray in your own hearts and tell the Lord that you want to walk with him this year. You want to develop that deep personal relationship. You want to talk to him. You want to hear from him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you've called us to an active Christian lifestyle. Lord, help us not to just rest. Help us not to be lazy or passive spiritually. Help us to be diligent. And Lord, return that diligence in our lives, Lord, and bring us closer to yourself by your grace. Lord, if any of us here, Lord, need to change direction and give up something in order to follow you, then Lord, please help us to do that. Lord, we know that you want to have a fellowship with us. You want to talk with us. You've invited us to do that. Lord, we pray that we would respond to that invitation. We pray, Lord, that we would have a deeper fellowship with you, that throughout the day we would talk with you, that we would meditate on your words. And we pray, Lord, that at the end of this year, we would say, yes, we have a much more personal relationship with you than we ever had before. Lord, help us this year to walk in step with you according to your will, following your leading. We pray these things in Jesus' name.